second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Will you please stand since this is the Gospel reading? When they had finished breaking fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'll go to the Lord in prayer before I start the sermon. Dear God, be with the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart as I deliver your message to people. And in your name, amen. So, have you ever made a New Year's resolution before, or know what they are? I have. How often do they go through? How long do they last? A day, 2 days, maybe a month? I know when I was a kid, everyone was like, "What's your New Year's resolution? What's it going to be?" And for me, I'd usually say, "I want to drink less pop," or "Stop playing video games." But what ironically happened, like the next day or next week or whenever, I'd forget I'd made those. And I would go, "Well, I'm going to drink more pop and play video games all night." Just forget about my New Year's resolution. I would go back into old habits and even like totally do the opposite of what I planned to do in my resolution. Often resolutions are around health and fitness. A study showed in last year, in 2022, that about 12 to 9% of people actually complete their New Year's resolution. We see something in ourselves that we want to change over the year ahead. We, as Christians, can do this. We see the same thing in Christ when we look to become Christians. We see something missing in our lives, something that could help us out when we're alone. The youth here and where I intern at, they're in confirmation and they're learning what it means to follow Christ and be a Christian. They're making a decision in their lives, a choice. This is a starting point for them. Some of us have made this decision a while back when we accepted Jesus. It could have been at a low point in your life, stress. Your friend decided to go up and accept Jesus and you didn't want to be left out and fit in, so you came up with them. Or the one I hear a lot is, "I had children, so now I got to go to church because that's what we do, and now I'm following along in Christ." Whatever our reason, we've all made a resolution to follow Christ and change our life. We sometimes along the way fall or fail to realize that we're not committed to actually following through with following Jesus. Like Peter in the scripture we just read in John. This is after Peter had denied Jesus 3 times in the garden before he was crucified. And Peter has chosen to return back to his old life. Maybe you in your own life have done that. You decided to follow Christ and then things got hard. It didn't work out the way you wanted to. This is not what I thought it meant to be a Christian. So I'm going back to my old ways. Maybe you're like Peter. And some of the other disciples had followed Peter that morning. And after they were all night fishing, Jesus came to them and told them to throw their nets one more time on the other side of the boat. And they caught a big load of fish. Then this scripture I read between Jesus and Peter took place. This is where Peter's resolution to follow Christ became real to him more than the first time. And we have the same opportunity to continue on the path to salvation. Just because we fail and we can't follow through with what we originally said with Christ, we get an opportunity to start over and continue salvation. Jesus and God are offering to accept you and to keep and to have you keep choosing to follow him over this world. There, if we look at our first scripture read between David and Jonathan, David and Jonathan had made a covenant while David was under the service of Saul. Jonathan is Saul's son, and they form a friendship after David gave a speech one day. And unclear of exactly what that friendship was, but we have examples where Jonathan at different times would go out and tell David, "Hey, my father is trying to kill you. Go away or hide." And then David, out of respect for God, he would not lay a hand on Saul or any of his descendants because they were anointed by God. And then at the beginning of 2 Samuel, right before this passage, we see that a servant is running to David and he brings bad news that Saul and Jonathan have died after a defeat. And this battle took place at the end of First Samuel 31. David mourns for his friend. In the popular TV show Big Bang Theory, we see another kind of friendship contract play out. And those of you who have seen it, Sheldon is very into his contracts. He makes sure everything is lettered out. He even goes into sections about what happens if this happens and so on and so forth. Well, one day, his roommate Leonard got asked to go see the Nobel Prize get handed out. And of course, this being around Valentine's Day, Leonard's like, "I want to go take my girlfriend." Sheldon comes out with the contract and goes, "Well, in this section, you sign that if you get asked to do this, go see the Nobel Prize, you're taking me." And it's a long conversation between the two. But really, Sheldon is just doing it for his own good. He's not actively trying to help somebody out. David, on the other hand, unlike Sheldon, he's doing the passage we read, he's doing it out of gratitude and remembrance of his covenant he once made with Jonathan. We see that even though David made that covenant a lot of years before this, he still is willing to honor his covenant with him and take care of his heir and help him out. How often in our lives do we say or make promises to ourselves, others, and we don't follow through? Do we see ourselves like David and keep our promises even though some time has gone by? Or do we see ourselves more like Sheldon and keep our promises that help us, but the other ones that don't help us, we forget about? As Christians, we are called to be more like David. How often is it hard to keep our practices? David is a perfect example of somebody who was honored by God but kept failing along the way. It takes time. Throughout David's life, you can read he's like Peter. He fails, but comes back to the Lord. David had to learn what it meant to follow God. We, too, have to learn what it means to follow God. Just because we've accepted Christ the one day does not mean we know and gain everything. I use the example of my youth group where I grab the Bible and I go, "Okay, I'm going to hold the Bible. Now I know everything, right? Do I know everything in the Bible just by holding it?" I've got to learn and felt and grow. My younger self would tell you, "I'm a lot further than I was back then, but I'm not where I need to be." How often is it that we can look back and say, I'm in a better place than I was. Or maybe I've slipped off and I'm worse off. We gotta do that self-examining, see where we are. For those in the confirmation class here and online, if you're watching, if you're in a confirmation class, you're taking the first steps on what it means to follow Christ. You're not saying, I got it figured out. You could be lost, you don't know what you're doing, but you're taking the first steps along a faith journey. And don't let it be a once and done thing. It's not something that I said that, I'm good. It's like kind of like the subscriptions you sign up and you got a subscription now. It's something you got to practice with and grow. John Wesley would call this a launching pad or a starting point of faith. It's not a landing zone. You don't land there. You're meant to grow. Often this is overlooked. Oftentimes you'll hear, just say this prayer and you'll be accepted by Jesus and there's no follow through. It takes a process to learn and to grow. At the same time, those that have been in the faith a while, has your promise faded, shifted, lose focus in your life? Did you make a commitment to Christ and then find out it's not what you really meant? Or was something different than you experienced? Our words matter as Christians, and it shows our character on the inside. If Christ comes to live in you, then it should show to others. Our thoughts and our words matter. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul says, putting falsehood and let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Paul is speaking to the nature of the community of Christians and how they are to treat one another. Our words should be uplifting and bring life. How easy is it to say a bad thing or hurtful thing to someone that we love, or even the person that cuts you off in traffic? If we are truly changed by the words in the Bible and take them to heart, we begin to see that the world is in a different light and even can be a different place. Instead of using words to hurt people, we start coming from a place of love of God and showing it and passing it along to others. We start uplifting those around us, sharing the joys that has been given to us by God. I'm reading a book I recently got for Christmas titled Dad Tried and Loved It by Gerard Lopez. He hosts a podcast called Dad Tried. And in this book, there's a quote that kind of resonated with me. It said, God doesn't want you raising their children to be good moral, children. What he's getting at is it's not enough just to raise our children or to grow up in the faith, our Christian children, just to have them go to church and be good moral people. There's more involved. There's a change in our heart. He wants their hearts to be radically in love with God. If we truly come to accept the love of Jesus and God, then we need to make our commitment to Him more than a New Year's promise that we keep for a while and forget. We are called to fully love Him and spread that to others. So, to those new in the faith or deciding to follow Jesus, is your commitment or promise to Jesus more than just a one-time thing, something you said and forgot about, or are you going to follow through with what you said? To those that have been in the faith a while, did you forget your promise to God? Do you need to redirect your life? Or has that change in your life made a difference and you're a better person today? Whatever you are, you need to look at yourself and see what we are doing. Jesus is waiting and that for your decision. We just get to be followers through, we just got to follow through with what we say. Think of Daniel and his friends in Babylon. during the exile. These men chose to follow their faith and stay true to God. They experienced different events, the fiery furnace and David being thrown in the lion's den, but they refused to bow down to the king and praise him. Are we willing to do the same in our world as it changes around us and moves away from serving God? Are we willing to stand by our promises to him and serve him? Today, what will be your response to God and Jesus? Amen.